Good evening. How are you all this evening? Good. It's good to see everybody. Tonight, if you would like to turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, we'll get there in just a minute. While you're turning there, I've been texting back and forth. It's good to see Mike and Vicky here, by the way. John was looking for them this morning over there in the Bay Area to go to church with him. So I guess they showed up here. But anyway, he'll figure it out. He's a big boy. More ways than one. He's a big boy. Okay, but anyway, I was talking to Mike, texting back and forth with Mike, and some of you might have saw his post on Facebook. He said he got back there, you know, and they live right behind the church building back there, and he sent me a picture of the building and everything. And he says, well, first negative thing he noticed, that his neighbor was a real pig. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. And then he texts the picture next. His neighbors have a big old pig, and it just roams around. I thought he did. So we were talking this afternoon, and he's telling me some funny stories about the church back there. And I was asking him about that pig, and I said, what does he do, just roam around? And he said, no, he lives in a barn out behind their house, and they have and it comes out once a day and just roams around the yard and mills around and goes back to the barn for the rest of the day. Big old pig. You can't even see its face. It's so fat. So maybe he'll say, man, those pork chops were good. That pig's gone, but those pork chops were good. But anyway, I thought that was funny. And we've been going back and forth. Someone recently shared a little parable with me about two frogs. And I want to share it with you tonight. And then we'll make some spiritual applications. Here it is. A group of frogs were traveling through the woods, and two of them fell into a pit. All the other frogs gathered around the pit. When they saw how deep the pit was, they told the two frogs that they were as good as dead. The two frogs ignored the comments and tried to jump out of the pit with all their might. The other frogs kept telling them to stop, that they were as good as dead. Finally, one of the frogs took heed to what the other frogs were saying and gave up. He fell down and died. The other frog continued to jump as hard as he could. Once again, the crowd of frogs yelled at him to stop the pain and just die. He jumped even harder and finally made it out. When he got out, the other frog says, did you not hear us? The frog explained to them that he was deaf. He thought they were encouraging him the entire time. That's a cute story, but it leaves you wondering, how did he communicate with the frogs? But we won't go into that. Okay, they thought they were encouraging him the whole time. Tonight's lesson has to do with the most powerful part of the human body, and we all know what that is. That is the tongue, okay? The tongue has power, the power of life and death. The Bible says that the tongue has power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's what we're going to look at. We see this illustrated in this little parable about the two frogs. The other frog spoke words of death and defeat to the two frogs. One heard the message and eventually gave up and died. The other did not. He kept trying, eventually made it to safety and life. An encouraging word spoken to someone is a lesson we can learn from that tonight. An encouraging word to someone who is down can lift them up and help them to make it through the day. And maybe to eternal life in heaven someday. Just an encouraging word here and there. On the other hand, a destructive word spoken to someone who is down and struggling may be all that it takes to kill their desire to do what is right and eventually just give up and die. So the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, if you have that, you can turn over there. It says, the wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And then Proverbs 15, verse 23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. James chapter 3 has a lot to say about the tongue, and we can turn there too. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. I'm just remembering this morning, I made that announcement that Don came up to me and gave, and to me in my ear, and I messed it completely up. And I said that that man was on his deathbed, and he had relatives here. His aunt was here, didn't know that he was on his deathbed. So you can imagine, oh boy, I'm in trouble. When Jake said that, I thought, oh man, I'm in trouble now. I shouldn't have said that. And so that's what I took from what Don said. So the power of the tongue can really cause trouble, can't it? Verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Boy, we know that in California, don't we? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is also set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Oh, the tongue gets us in trouble, does it not? Get us in a lot of trouble. And I like what James says there. And James is known as the the Beatitudes for the church, and behavior in the church. A great study. We might study. It's been a long time since we studied the book of James. But I like what James says there. It says, can salt water and fresh water come out of the same opening? You know, it's not right. It shouldn't be that way. Blessings and cursing coming off the same tongue. It shouldn't be that way. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I believe some in the church, a few people in the church, have interpreted seasoned with salt to mean hateful and mean. Sometimes we can say hateful and mean things to one another. And I don't know why we do that. I've done it probably. Not probably, I'm sure. I've said some things that have upset people without even thinking about it. We need to think about it. Seasoned with salt. We need to be ready to answer. We ought to think how we ought to answer each other, because our tongue can really cause a lot of problems. And that brings us to our next point, the application for the church. This little parable has great application for us. Think about this for a moment. What do people expect to hear from people who claim to be God's people? What do they expect to hear from us? They expect to hear the same kind words that God would speak to them. And it's funny how they expect to hear that from us, because they know we're Christians. But they don't live by the same rules, do they? It's all right for them to say stuff, but when it comes to us, a Christian, they expect to hear different things from us. And that's all right, because we live by a higher standard. But I just think it's always funny that they expect us to act that way, but they have no expectations and don't expect that from me. It's not coming from me. I'm not a Christian. you know, I don't live that way. You do, so you don't say it. And if we slip up along the way, oh, they get, you know, oh, we got something on you now, you know, and this and that. It's amazing to me. But they expect to hear stuff like, great job. Hang in there. It's good to see you. Do you need some help? Come on, you can make it. Be careful. Let me help you, brother or sister. Can I share with you what the Bible says about that? I love you. They expect to hear that. I love you. I'm praying for you. They expect to hear that too a lot, don't they? Let me do this for you. And the list goes on and on. We can mention all kinds of nice things that people expect to hear from us because we're members of the body of Christ. We're Christians. And to be honest with you, most in the church do speak that language. And that's the language of God. And we should try to encourage one another, you know, along the way by encouraging them with this kind of talk, encouraging talk. People both in the church and outside the church expect to hear God's people speaking the words of life and encouragement. Isn't that what the Bible is? That's what God's word is. Words of life and encouragement along the way. And Peter says, speak the oracles of God. And that's part of it. Speaking the words of God. The word of life and encouragement. If we are following God, that kind of language should come out of our mouths naturally. But it's not that way with some people sometimes in the church. People who are God's people. What they hear is more like the words of the frogs on the edge of the pit. Shouting down to the frogs in distress. Sometimes we get that. Hear the words they speak many. Here are the words they speak many times. You can't do that. We don't use those words in the church. You know, I remember one time baptizing a guy right here. He came out of the baptistry, and I've told you this. It struck a memory. It's almost like it happened yesterday. And I had called some Christians around to share in the moment. Came out of the baptistry. And I mean, the water's still dripping off of his hair. And he called me Reverend. And oh my, one of the people in the group there just lit into him over that word Reverend. And this guy's hair wasn't even dry yet. And I just shook my head, you know, looking at him, my head shaking inside, but my head's not moving, you know, like, oh brother, why don't you just be quiet? Let him enjoy this moment for a minute. We'll teach him about that later. That's what I'm thinking. But he had to tell him right then. Wasn't the place right then to teach him. You know, it's like that frog. Push him down a little bit. Okay? You can't wear that. We don't wear that in the church. You know, there's a time to teach about those things. There's a time of encouragement. Let them get their feet under them. Now, if it's someone who's been here a long time and they should know better, then we might want to approach them about their dress or about calling me Reverend, and I will do that too. If someone's been here a long time and should know better, then it's time. Brother, let me talk to you about that. It's an interesting thing you called me Reverend. Let's study on that. You know, should we be using that language, Reverend? You know, and then explain to them. And most likely, if we approach them the right way, they're encouraged along, and they won't do that again. Same for dress. Oh, you can't wear that. Look what they're wearing over there. You know, and things like that. If they've been here a while, let's go over and talk to them and maybe help them out a little bit and teach them how and maybe take them shopping and buy them some appropriate clothes if they don't have those clothes and encourage them along the way for appropriate dress. They shouldn't be allowed to do this or that. I know... sometimes we can be around people and sitting around the table, and I'm all talking about people in the congregation, in the church, and I'm looking around tonight. Everybody here is in the church, so I feel safe saying these things. Sometimes we're sitting around with a group of people, you know, Christians and stuff, and then we start this, you know, and this over here and this, and they shouldn't be allowed to do that in the church, and then it's kind of just spirals down. You get up and leave, and you think, man, I don't feel so good. I don't feel encouraged, you know. Wouldn't it be great if we just sat around and encouraged each other from time to time? There's a place for that. But, you know, sometimes we hear each other saying that. It kind of discourages us. You see, the contrast in these two kinds of people that we find in the church is found in their approach or the philosophy of how God approaches people. Some people view God as a God of thou shalt nots, and you better not do that. Okay? They may say God is a God of love, but their God of love speaks negatively all the time. Have you heard that? They speak negatively all the time. I wonder if God speaks like that. To them, no one is ever right or seldom right, and they will never reach perfection. Well, we're not going to reach perfection, but we can keep on striving that way and not kick each other down. They will always be in the wrong for some reason, and unless they straighten up and get their program, of which they seem to be the experts on the program, they will be lost. Okay? Therefore, the message they find in the Bible and come across sharing with others is one of we can't do that, and you may have done that right, but you still got a long way to go. You're still wrong in a lot of other things. There's hardly ever, if ever, a time when a person can feel good about being a child of God. And if there's one thing we can feel good about is striving to be a child of God. And if there's one thing we need from each other, and that is encouraging words so that we can feel like that and help each other along. A steady diet. Therefore, the message they find in the Bible comes across sharing with others is one of you can't do that, and you better get that right. There's hardly ever, if ever, a time when they feel good. A steady diet of this kind of doctrine leaves one with the attitude of, why should I even try? And I've met people like that. I'm never going to be good enough. I will never make it. Why not just try, stop trying, and just die? I talked to a person recently who I was trying to rekindle a friendship with, member of the body of Christ out of duty, and they told me, I can't come back and worship God with all the problems that I have. They just couldn't come and worship God the way their problem, that with all the problems they had in their life. They need to get their life straightened out first, and then they could come and worship God. That's the problem. They're not going to get it straightened out until they start worshiping God and feeling better from about themselves and start hearing the brethren again talking about how you can make it. Hang in there. Don't give up. Okay? Friends and brethren, if that is all we hear from some people, God's people, we never be like the other frogs. Well, or we need to be like the other frogs and turn a deaf ear to those people who are discouraging us along the way. God says we can do it if we keep trying. Here's what God says, Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What is God saying there? Keep on striving. Keep on going. Don't get tired. Don't fall by the wayside. Keep on going. You can do it. Don't grow weary. Come on, you can go a little bit more. Come on, get up. You've fallen, get out. Come on, I'll clean you off. Let's go. Keep on walking. Then there are people, you see, who see God in a completely different way. They see God telling them, do it this way. It's better this way. You can do it, and here I am to to help you make it. Keep going. Don't give up. If you fall, repent. And I'll help you back up and to strengthen you, and we can keep on walking together. Those are encouraging words. These people see God as one who wants them to make it, who speaks words of encouragement along the way. They see God as one who realizes that none of us humans are perfect, as one who had made provisions, and God has made provisions for us for that in life and in His Word. They see people in a positive way as people who do want to do the right thing and be pleasing to God. And that's why we're all here tonight, you know, to be pleasing to God. And I tell you what, I am encouraged every time I come Wednesday night and I see all these pews, Wednesday night, Sunday night, and I see all the empty spots in these pews. And Mary's working with me on this. trying to think right. But look at all the people who are here. And man, that's the way to look at it. Look at all the people who are here encouraging us and expressing their faith right along with us. Don't get discouraged, Jim. You know, somebody asked, how many did we have here this morning? And I thought, I don't even want to know. Because there were a lot of people here this morning. And that's what matters. Numbers don't matter. There were a lot of visitors here this morning. And they heard the gospel this morning. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the last time. Who knows? But they heard it. And I'm encouraged by that. The singing was great. The Lord's Supper. Rod did a great little talk on the Lord's Supper. Everything was just perfect. And I think God was pleased with our worship and pleased with how we got the message out to the people about the church. They see God as one who gives us liberty in Christ, liberty to serve Him as God desires us to. Not as one who keeps us in bondage to a law-keeping system that says, you do this or else. That's a law-keeping system. Is there no law with God? Oh, no, there's a law. But he frees us up in Christ Jesus to serve Him and follow His law. And it's a whole different attitude. And that's really what we're talking about. How can we tell which kind of person someone is? How do I know what kind of frog Tim is? Sorry. Not by his singing, because he has a wonderful voice and great passion. How can I tell what kind of frog, Becky is, okay? What kind of person she is. All I have to do is listen to her. That's all you have to do. If you listen to people, you'll know what kind of person they are. And those are the people you want to be around. I'm going to spare you of my Wendell Lippincott story tonight. What a great guy. He was one of those frogs that says, come on, come on. He turned a deaf ear to everybody else who was negative. He didn't let that slow him down. He had a smile on his face. And he was one of those that encouraged me just by watching him that I wanted to be like him. Just listen to them. Are they speaking words of encouragement or are they speaking words that say, yeah, just give up and die. Quit trying. You're never going to make it. Just die. Okay? The conclusion of the matter, God has a message of victory in Jesus for us and a message of a better way in and through Christ Jesus. And listen to the words of encouragement of those as they lovingly teach God's word, as they lovingly live the Christian life, as they're striving with all their might, and they're encouraging us even without even speaking sometimes, come on, you can do it. Let's keep going together. Those are the people you want to be around. On the other hand, turn a deaf ear to those who aren't bringing that message. Turn a deaf ear to people who you being around will you get discouraged and make you want to give up and stay home. And not fellowship with the brethren or not worship God. You don't need to be around those people. But flip that around a little bit. And when they start speaking discouraging words to you, you just combat that with encouraging words. And think of something encouraging to say to them. And leave them awestruck with their jaw hanging down on the ground. Never heard somebody talk like that before, maybe. Maybe they haven't heard. Maybe they're not used to that, encouraging words. And so by us encouraging those people, maybe they can flip it around and be one of the encouragers. God wants us to save people. He wants us to put the message out there in a way that shows His love. And there's a wrathful side of God, too, and we need to teach that just as well. But we teach it all in love. And the whole point of this is to encourage people along. So this little lesson tonight about the two frogs is all about, and the message we want to take home tonight and think about this week is, what kind of person am I? Am I speaking words of encouragement or words of doom and death? You can't do it. or I can do it, you can do it, let's travel this road together. So keep that in mind as we go throughout the week, as we interact with each other throughout the week. Let us encourage one another to love and good works like the Bible would have us to. Tonight I want to extend the invitation. If you need to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do that right now because you may not have another chance. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess that he is the Son of God because he truly is. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Like I said, most everybody here tonight, except for a few, are Christians. And so the message also is, if you've been unfaithful to the Lord, if you're having trouble staying faithful to the Lord, if you're having trouble digging deep and laying that foundation with the Lord, then why not ask the Lord for strength? Why not ask the church to pray for you and with you? That's encouraging words too. Come down and ask for prayers of the church. If you're here tonight, you probably want to do better. If you're not living faithful, you probably know you need to be doing better. You probably know you have sin in your life that you need to clean up. Then why not ask for forgiveness and start tonight to do that? Because you know what? You can do it because God gives you the strength to do it. He's going to help you along the way. He's provided a support group for you, and that support group is us, one another. And by encouraging one another, we can all make it to heaven someday. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight, please do so right now while we stand and sing.